All right. Charlie, thank you very much. And Pastor Eric, thank you very much, too. After you realized that your travel plans had changed, you elected not to bump me this morning. And I appreciate that. Because Eric asked me to speak about a month ago. And it was right after I had spoken the first time. And just to let you know the chronology of events, how things unfolded, Pastor Eskelin just gave a dynamite message in June on repentance. The definition of repentance being, and there are many definitions, but the one that he keyed upon was yielding to a new authority. Don't tell me you're penitent. Don't tell me you're a believer. Don't tell me you've entered the gate, born again, unless you've yielded to a new authority. Wonderful sermon. It's still there. Go get it, you know. So I saw that's so good. I love that theme. So I followed it up in July, talk about another way of thinking of repentance. That is bumping the old Adam with a new Adam, the second Adam, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So we took a look at Genesis chapter 2 and 3 and looked at all the dynamics of the old Adam that we wanted to laugh at, scoff at, and say no more. Don't want to have that be part of my life. So then you said, oh, I'm going to be on the road. Preach again. Oh, yeah, I'd love to. So now I'm thinking, okay, let's just say people are penitent. People have left the starting gate. They are now out of the blocks. Where do we go from here? And what's the next step? And that is what my few words will be about today. And I know there are many different ways of stating this. Some people could say, well, the next step is, you really need to be in touch with the Holy Spirit. You really need to be engaged with the church. True, true. But what I am going to be addressing with you today and what I want you to receive today is that once a person has begun their Christian life, it is now your job to excel at life. And life must be fed through the mind. The end game. And I brought my Bible. You've got yours. I've got mine. I bought this one 3 years ago. This is the single best, in my opinion, the single best publication in the English language ever printed. The ESV Study Bible, large print for bad eyes. Sorry. Weighs 8 pounds, but hey, it's going to take me forever to process this. Everything that is not in all the other study Bibles is in this one. The best $45 you'll ever want to spend. So the end for today is to ramp up your exposure to God's holy word on a daily basis. You'll see. It's honest. In 20 minutes, you're going to say, oh, yeah, that's just what you said you were going to say. That's right. Because our knowledge of God's word, of God's will, of God, key word, our knowledge is the source of life. And that, I think, is a countercultural statement. Because what's knowledge? Knowledge is academic stuff, right? Knowledge is Wikipedia. Knowledge is the extracurricular stuff. And you know what, Rob? I can get by real well a week or a day or so without giving any attention whatsoever to how I am feeding my mind and how I'm feeding my brain. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Well, you know, just for a beginner, this is Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. It's in your bulletin. Take my instruction instead of silver. You like that? God's perspective is, okay, I got some free money over here. Yeah, I got God's word over here. I want you all come on up and take from either pile. Just. Take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I find knowledge and discretion more precious than silver. Now we're going to get to that, but let's do a little bit of development. And I have an image here I'd like to project on the screen, lest you think coming to church is a spectator event. Not so. Out with your pens and pencils, everybody. turn to the back of your bulletin. You have space. See all those lines? We're going to have an exercise of art interpretation. I want you to take a look at this image and make a list. What do you see? Go ahead. For those of you listening online, the image comes from a Christianity Today article during the month of June. I don't remember what the article is about because I lost it, but I clipped this before I lost the issue. People who do observation exercises like this continually ask the question, what else do you see? What else do you see? I know a seminary professor who asked his students to make observations of Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Some made over 40 observations from those 10 or 11 words. There's a lot here. How's your list? Cheryl, you're writing. I'd like you to look at your list. Could you tell me one thing that you put on your list? Just one observation from... Oh, you are very, very positive, because that TV show is just so good. The Anointing of God has slain them on the couch. Well, you're are there others of you that are not so kind? Yes, Demetrius, what do you see? All right, your minds, and as I might suspect, your eyes really are focusing on the two people. I want to make a few more observations about that, but let's look at the rest of the room first, okay? Let's look at the television. What can you tell me about the television? It is on. It is on, okay? It's a new TV, right? Paid good money for it. What's that TV doing? Is it working? You bet it's working. What's its job? You know, No. It is not to put you to sleep. That's... Let me step in here. I want to be deductive for a moment. The job of that television, well, the word entertain from the Latin, the root is to hold. Entertainment is to hold. It could be with good stuff. It could be with bad stuff. Do they care? No. As long as they got you. And who wants to get you? The advertisers want to get you. And why do the advertisers want to get you? Because they think this. If I can have access to your mind for a lengthy period of time with repetition, I'll get through. And you say, no, not me. I'm tough. You know, I can filter through all this stuff and make up my own decisions. There's a world out there that says, you just keep thinking that, pal. You just keep thinking that, all right? And we'll see. We'll see. You know, they're and you see the ads, the guy, the cartoon character of the gentle old man with a soft voice in a jingle offering you 50% off and no payments until January 2015 to buy a new carpet, you know, over and over and over. Yeah, he's not going to get through. Well, pretty soon you're going to want a new carpet, you know. And so it goes with all of these, all of, that I can get into your mind, and after I've done that, I'll get into your wallet. Oh, no, not me. But, you know, the TV here is just a symbol for the world, and even if the TV is off, there's all kinds of other things going after you to get into your mind. To get into your mind. Television news is selected as it is slanted. And, you know, and they do news. But a good portion of it is not news. It is what we want you to know. And we don't want you to know about homeschool successes. We don't want you to know about pro-life solutions. We got other stuff we want you to know. So, you know, we select it, we slant it, and that's how it goes. But it's on, and it is working, and it is going overtime. All right, before we look at the people, another observation. Tell me about the cross. Certainly not in the center of attention. But, you know, they put that cross up. They like that cross. They maybe got that cross when they were baptized. They wouldn't put the cross up if they didn't care about God. They put up that cross. There you go. Wait a second. I'm still in the cross. So we have the cross. Meaningful. Otherwise, not getting too much attention and not having too much influence. Okay. All right, now you're all dying to get to the people here. Okay? Three-dimensional people? Two-dimensional people. Posture? Whatever the shape of the couch. You know, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the image of the world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is being transformed according to the renewal of my couch, you know. Did it look alive? Barely. You think you can get a pulse? Okay. Do you see Christians? Well, sadly, there are people out there that this is you if you're a Christian. It's what they think anyway. And by the way, do you see yourself? Oh, let's stop with that thought. All to say here that the world is out to make an impression upon us, and they're pretty successful in doing so. Oh, but Swanson, wait a second. This is interesting stuff, but it's really not essential because, you see, John 3:16, I put my faith in Jesus. I'm going to heaven. I've got my ticket punched. It doesn't matter how God accepts me the way I am. God is saying, listen, the plant will only be as healthy as its root system. And how's the root system? And what are you doing? And how are you feeding your life? Now, I got one more little thought that I had here. Elizabeth, you've been outspoken here today. I'll get you involved. Elizabeth, my debit card. Here you go. I'm going to give you my PIN number. Well, you're really in a hurry here. You can't use it without my PIN number. And I want you to have it for about a 3-day period. And you know why I want you to have it. Tell it to see how much you deposit in my account.
Oh, no.
You weren't thinking that? Were you? Were you all thinking about going to the bank? With my debit card? Well, I think the debit card is like our minds. We're not thinking a whole lot about what we're putting in. We're thinking about what we're going to do with what we have, right? But unless you make the deposits, you're going to end up with insolvency, bankruptcy. That television in a closed Bible refers to the bankrupt, insolvent believer. I'll back off. About to say zombie. Now, they may not be that bad. But I'm talking about a tremendous need that requires drastic results. Now, my sermon today is called Knowledge in the Source of Life. And I could preach this from Colossians. You see, we itinerants. See, Pastor, excuse me for a moment. You got this blessing, and I've had it, you know, getting to go week after week. If I didn't, I got next week and all that. I don't have next week, you know. It doesn't matter if I try to be expository. It ain't going to happen. All I got is 1 week. So this is a topical sermon. And my topic, knowledge and the source of life, could really come from lots of different places of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3, great place. John, 1 John, Psalm 119. That topic fits into a lot of texts. But the text that I've selected for today is going to be the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1 and 2. Proverbs chapter 1 and 2 has a lot to say about the role of knowledge. Remember, that extracurricular unessential for a lot of people, which I am saying is absolutely central. I'm saying of all the things you need to think about once you leave the blocks, once you leave the gate, is going to be experiencing life because you've filled your noggin with the knowledge of God. There's more to life than that, but this is where we're starting. And we're starting with our text. No. Not before the text. Before the text. I got a little bit more to say about knowledge. And Greg, I think, has a screen, and you have a little cartoon in your bulletin today. If knowledge is so important, if knowledge is the source of life, if knowledge is pleasant to the soul, don't you think Satan wants to get in here and really muddy the water? You know, by calling it the encyclopedia, by calling it book knowledge and all of that. Well, knowledge is not a new topic. Let me give you a very, very quick primer on the philosophy of knowledge. Basically, there have been two poles, two positions. Positions number one and position number four. Position number one is that knowledge is always what your experience is. Knowledge is experience. You learn something, you do it, you got some knowledge. Others say, no. That's not knowledge. Knowledge is more ideal. Eternal truth. There is truth that is out there. And basically, this is the difference between Aristotle and Plato. Aristotle was the person who said happiness is the function of doing the disciplines of life. You know, it's all experiential. Plato was the guy who was out there saying, no, there are truths out there that we need to learn and need to apply into our lives. To Plato, music was an ideal. The knowledge of music, it's out there. It's us for us to get to it. Plato would say, a butterfly is beautiful. The number one guy would say, nah, there's no such thing as beautiful. You know, atheists are all over on the number one side, right? Over on the number four side, you'd have the Hindus. And you'd have people who just, you know, their heads are out there. They're into some other kind of truth. Of the source. So you got these two folks out there. But then we got person number two. Person number two says, you're both wrong. Knowledge is what's ever going on in my head. And if I think it, that's it. And it doesn't have to be real to you as long as it's real to me. This is Nietzsche. This is existential. This is postmodern. And you say, well, philosophy, Swanson, you know, these are the jet streams that make its way down to Earth. You know, the recreational drug movement that started in the 1960s didn't begin with people who wanted to party. It was deep in philosophy. You know, the Timothy Leary crowd, they truly, truly believed that the only thing that mattered was what was going on in their brain, drug-induced or not. It didn't matter as long as it was there and up to them. And so it goes. It just matters to me. And these positions are all duking it out. What do we do, say, if a person is guilty of murder? The number four people would say, well, you know, it is wrong to take an innocent life. A person who takes an innocent life should forfeit their own life. And we, society, will execute that forfeiture because that is just. That is the right thing to do. Then there are some people over on the number one side who would say, well, yeah, but, you know, capital punishment is not a deterrent. And maybe we'll execute the wrong person. And maybe our experience says it's not the best way to go. And then you got number two. The guy said, I'm innocent by virtue of insanity. If I didn't think it was a murder, it's not a murder. You know, in our laws today, we don't say guilty but insane. We say innocent by virtue of insanity. And all this stuff has made its way into jurisprudence and into the way the laws are written today, which we're not going to sort out here this morning. But so where's the Christian come down? Are we evidence people? Yeah. I mean, we point to the empty tomb. Jesus is alive. The presence of miracles. But on the other hand, there are ideals. You know, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know? So we're a little bit of both. We put most of our attention to what God has revealed, but God has revealed stuff that is very practical, too. There are some Christians who are over in the number four category saying, I'm just a mystic. I just want to know God. Then you got Christians in the number one category, whatever it works I want to do, you know, church growth, management by objective, how to influence people and persuade and all of that, marketing. We are a little bit of both. For instance, Romans chapter 1, verse 19. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Now, see, that's evidence. God wants it to be really, really plain. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. God's righteous judgment will be revealed. It will be revealed. If you think it's not going to be revealed because your experience tells you it's not going to be revealed, it will be revealed. That is an ideal. It is true. And it is true, as Plato would say, the truth is true whether or not you perceive it or not. It's out there. And so we have these truths. I want to read to you from Proverbs chapter 1 and then Proverbs chapter 2. And, you know, God's word is different from section to section. Sometimes the language is high and holy. Sometimes it's poetic and emotional. And sometimes it's just very, very earthy. And the language of Proverbs chapter 1 and chapter 2 is our great, infinite, immortal, genius God doing everything he can to talk to you and to get on your level. And God knows how to talk rap to a rapper. He can talk baby talk to a baby. And if he's talking to a thug, you know, he's not going to mince any words. And so God is condescending. And this is what he says. And as I read this, just I'm answering the question. How high are the stakes? You know, the sermon today, living our lives by the knowledge of God. Well, yeah, that's a good idea, you know. Just how high are the stakes, whether or not you succeed at this or if you fail at this? And what's the role of seeking success in filling our minds with the knowledge of God? How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? And how long will scoffers delight in scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I've called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. And you say, oh, that doesn't sound like my God. This is our God trying to get through. He says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord and would have none of my counsel and despise my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and shall have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. This is our condescending God saying, okay, you know, I'm laying it out to you, laying it on a platter. How long do you expect me to wait? What am I waiting for? Are you into receiving my knowledge diligently? No. Well, why not? And how long is it going to take for you to do it? Well, you see, Lord, I'm not ready. That's right. I'm not ready. Or I have a need, or I don't have a need. When I came to faith in Christ as a young man, I had had a couple of tough years earlier, but not at this time. My life was going great. I had no anxieties. I had no fears. I had no worries. Socially, my life was going well. And when you're 20, nothing else matters, you know. Everything was good. But there was one work, pre-evangelistic work of the Holy Spirit that God had done in my life that got me ready to respond to the gospel within days of hearing it for the first time. I knew I was lost. Absolutely, positively, I knew it. And I just believed everybody I knew was lost. And life was a function of finding your way through life successfully amongst lost people, finding a way to survive. And that was it. And then I discovered that, well, I came exposed to the truth of God. And I came. All to say, you know, you don't need to have a great need. You just have to say, my brain is so much in need of the knowledge and wisdom of life of God. And that's where we begin. Now, I just slapped you around a bit by reading Proverbs chapter 1. Let's go the gentle approach. Some of you say, you know what? You talk to me in strong terms, I put up a shell. I'm a tough. All right, well, good. Well, God condescends. Okay, you're a nut. I can't get through to. We'll use a soft approach. So this is Proverbs chapter 2. Okay, here we go. Attempt number 2. Proverbs chapter verses 1 through 10. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, and if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the path of justice and watching over the way of the saints. Then you'll understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and here it is, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. You know, if you seek God, you will find him. If you seek wisdom, you will find it, and frosting on the cake, it'll be pleasant to your soul. You'll like it. You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy going to the bank, making those deposits into my account. It'll be fun. God promises this. This is good. Well, I don't want to get into knowledge because I got other things I'd rather do. You're not going to find anything more fun. Well, you might. But it is fun, all right? Learning and it will be pleasant to the soul. You know what? I did a print out of Eugene Peterson, the message. If I can't find it, I'm not going to read it. Here it is. I wish I could write like this. This is my third attempt to get through. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning verse 1. See if this good friend. By the way, this is this is not a translation, it's a transliteration, but Peterson has been highly hailed for really getting to accuracy. A lot of people, when they say things that aren't there, Peterson says things that are there. He's trying to get through to our language. Good friend, take to heart what I'm telling you. Collect my counsels and guard them with your life. Tune your ears to the world of wisdom and set your heart on a life of understanding. That's right. Make insight your priority and won't take no for an answer, searching for it like a prospector panning for gold, like an adventurer on a treasure hunt. Believe me, before you know it, the fear of God will be yours, and you'll come upon the knowledge of God, and here's why. God gives out wisdom free. It's plain spoken in knowledge and understanding. He is a rich mine of common sense for those who live well. A personal bodyguard to the candid and sincere. He keeps his eye on all those who live honestly and pay special attention to his loyalty and committed ones. So, now you can pick out what's true and fair and find all the good trails. Lady Wisdom will be your close friend and Brother Knowledge your pleasant companion. Good sense will scout ahead for danger and insight will keep an eye out for you. They'll keep you from making wrong turns or following the bad directions. Of those who are lost themselves can't tell a trail from a tumbleweed. These losers who make a game of evil throw parties to celebrate perversity, traveling paths that go nowhere, wandering in a maze of detours and dead ends. Seek it, and you will find it, and it will be pleasant to your soul. And not only pleasant, but then will help me to make all those decisions that I'm spring-loaded to make wrong decisions, you know, emotionally or from things that I've learned. But God will give input. That's the message of Proverbs. I wonder if we have any further support from the New Testament on the things that I've just been saying. John chapter 8, could we have that please, Greg? Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you not hear, not abide. I think he said a little bit more than do a 3-minute Our Daily Bread reading here. Nothing against Our Daily Bread, you know? Oh, but you see, that's all I have time for. No. Abide. Remain. You're talking about receiving God's word. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. And the truth will, doesn't say be pleasant to your soul. It says here, we'll set you free. Isn't that great? It's true. How about John chapter 14? We know the Son speaks highly of feeding your mind with knowledge. What about the Holy Spirit? But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, I knew that meant something to the disciples, but you know what it means to me? I got my book. What do you think the Holy Spirit would like for me to do other than just hold this in my hand? I got some things to learn. And the more I read it, the more I try to get into it, and I say, I can't remember what I read. Well, you know what? He'll bring it to my mind. Oh, I do remember what I read, you know? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives to you, I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You don't get this part until you go through that part, right? So I got the Spirit. I've got the Son. I wonder if the Father can chime in on this theme. John chapter 17. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Father, sanctify them in the truth. What's that? You know? Plato? No. Your word is truth. Yes, your word is truth. So this is where we go. And this is what we have. Okay. Remember that conclusion I promised you 20 minutes ago. Here it comes. Folks, with the mind that God has given you, and because you are most serious about being a good steward of the mind and the life that God has bestowed, and because you are convinced that God wants you to think more like Him, and because you are convinced that abundant life flows through the mind, I am calling you today for a daily ingestion of God's word into your soul and into your life. There are no end runs around the abundant life of Jesus Christ. It begins with His knowledge abiding in my mind. And, you know, I'm not a bibliolater. I worship God. I don't worship a Bible. But my God just happens to be loaded with information that He is just dying to funnel down into our lives. So, folks, true or false, TRF, question. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the gift of life. Thank you for the words of life that you have given to us. And thank you for how the thoughts of God, the eternal word of God, flowers into beautiful things if and when it takes residency in our lives. Father, we so much, for your glory, want to be filled with life, unlike our two characters on the couch. Father in heaven, would you be so kind as to help us to commit this day to ramp up our ingestion of your holy word. Amen. Amen. Amen.